Now, over the last several weeks, a little over a month now, I've been preaching to you over the overall topic of winning the home wars, a series of sermons on family issues. And what we've done is we've put some visuals up here. You might remember the sermon I preached on marriage. And so we've got it the way it starts over here, and then the way it kind of turns out over here with the husband and wife and the 2.4 children. And normally when we think of families, this is what we think of. But there is another segment of family life that I want to talk to you about today that is vitally important, not just in this world, obviously, but in the kingdom of God. In fact, the fastest growing demographic, family-wise, is single families or singles in the family. And it might be never married, with or without children. It might be single again, whether widowed or divorced. This is the fastest growing demographic in our nation today. And the churches that are really growing and the churches that are really doing anything in the kingdom of God are ministering to this group of people. Single is a family. You can be single and be a family. And so today I want to talk to singles, but I also want to talk for singles. And that means I want to talk to the rest of the church. You say, well, Brother Greg, you've never been single. And you know, that's almost true. When I turned 18, I joined the Navy a month later, and then 2 months after that, I got married. And so I was single for about 3 months of my life. But the Word of God has some things to say to singles and for singles. And so as we begin this morning, I'm going to let some singles actually speak for themselves, just kind of set the tone. I want you to watch this video here.
Downsides to being single is looking around and seeing everybody else that's not single.
I need company always around me. I can't be alone. I need to talk to someone. I need to have someone around.
I think some of the downsides are that if you've been alone for a long time, you begin to feel unattractive. You begin to feel like you're not interesting or worth spending time with.
Being single is being very, very, very alone. In your mind, in your heart, you just feel that there's nobody there that really cares.
Lonely, not having someone to talk to, not having a soulmate.
You don't always have a companion. It is nice to hang out with people and do stuff with people.
You just walk around and stuff, you see all these couples together, it just makes you want to be with someone.
But I mean, I get lonely sometimes, when I just want to be with a girl cuddling. That's the downside of being single.
Rotten. That's my opinion of it.
Everybody needs somebody to love, and everybody needs somebody to care for them and to care for.
A lot of people do define themselves by their interactions with other people.
When they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I just think that they feel lonely and depressed. You need to have someone without them.
I personally am single and have a dog, and I'm quite happy that way.
I'm single, and I have a dog, and I'm happy that way. There are many happy singles. There are those who feel that loneliness that you heard. And that's what I want to speak to this morning. You know, the Bible speaks to singleness. And so if you're here this morning and you're not single, I want you to know I'm speaking to you as well, because we as a church, we need to recognize the responsibility that we have in the ministry, and also to undergird and to be there. And if you are single this morning, I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say about this issue. We don't have I don't have a single mannequin up here because, first of all, there wasn't a department store that would give us another mannequin, and secondly, because normally we don't think of single as being a family. But this morning I want to refocus our attention on that. You can be a family and be single. In Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees about the issue of divorce. And they say, well, Jesus, if God didn't intend for divorce, if this is not God's plan, then why did He allow it? Because in the law of Moses, He said that if a man wants to divorce his wife, he just has to write her a note and say, hit the road. And so that's the way divorce happened back then. And so Jesus, why did God allow it? And Jesus, in reply, said, the reason that God allowed for divorce was because of your hard hearts. In other words, He said, this world is filled with sin. We are all sinners. And because we are sinners, sometimes things don't work out as we would like for them to, or as God intended for them to in our lives, because our sin gets in the way. And that's why divorce comes along. And so, and then He went on to say that that if a man divorces his wife and then remarries, he actually commits adultery, and he causes her to commit adultery. Now don't get too upset about that. I'm going to come back to that here in a minute, or I'll speak to that. But it was a very, very difficult saying. In fact, it was shocking what Jesus said. And it was so shocking that even the his disciples wondered about it. And so in verse 10, they ask Him a question. And so this is Matthew 19. The disciples said to Him, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. And Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept this. Now just catch what the Apostle Paul is saying. He is saying, yeah, this is a hard saying. And yes, it is true that marriage is a very important institution in God's planning. But he goes on to say that it's not necessarily for everybody. It might be that not everybody is going to be married. And He said, if you can accept this, accept this. In other words, if it's for you, then receive it. And if it's not for you, don't try to force it on somebody else. Now if you flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul kind of picks up on this. In fact, the entire book of 1 Corinthians is the Apostle's answering to some of the questions that he had been asked. Evidently, the Corinthian church had written him a letter, and they had asked him some questions. And so now we get to chapter 7, and the question is about marriage. And so in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul writes, now for the matters you wrote me about, it is good for a man not to marry. Now just hold on to that for just a second. Look at what he says. It's good for a man not to marry. Now that's pretty blatant and straightforward. It is good for a man not to marry, he says. But, he says in verse 2, since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill her marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body doesn't belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. Now, basically, he says here the same thing that Jesus said. That marriage is not necessarily for everybody, but because there is sin in the world and because there is immorality, it's all right to marry. In other words, it's not a sin to marry, it's not a sin not to marry. He says, now I don't give you this, or I make this as a concession, not as a command. In other words, I'm not telling you to marry, but I'm saying that it's okay to marry. But look what he says in verse 7. So I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and the other that gift. Now, when he says, I wish everybody was like I am, each man was, he's talking about singleness. Evidently, at this point, he is single. And he says, I wish everybody was like me. He says, but some have this gift. Now, notice, he's talking about singleness here as a gift from God. And then he says, but some have the other gift. And the other gift is to be united with a husband or wife and to be united in a precious way, in a blessed way. Verse 8, now to the unmarried and to the widows I say, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word. Now just get this, okay? Don't misunderstand what is being said. He said if you don't marry, that's okay. If you do marry, that's all right as well. In fact, there's a big question, a big debate theologically or among Bible scholars, was the Apostle Paul married? And the answer is yes, he probably was at one time. He almost would have had to have been. In the book of Philippians, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And it sounds like that he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the group of 70 that ruled the Jewish people. And if he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he had to have been married. In that day, when a man turned 20, he was expected to have taken a wife. And certainly if he was a rabbi, a teacher of others, he had to have had a wife. But at this point, he has no wife, because in verse 7 he says, I wish you were like me. And so then the question among Bible scholars is, well, what happened to his wife? Well, it may very well be that she died and he was a widower. Although he doesn't mention anything about that in the Scripture. It might also be that when he became a Christian, when he accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord and chose to follow Him, that his wife left him and divorced him, probably at the instigation of her family, because now he was going off on some wild, crazy thing. And it really underscores the words when the Apostle Paul writes that I have forsaken all to follow Christ. If you understand that, it may very well be he had to give up his family in order to follow Christ. Then you can understand that this Christ following business is life altering, life changing. But in this passage of Scripture, there is a very important word to singles. And that's who I really want to speak to today. I want to speak to them, and I also want to speak for them. So the rest of the church, I'm speaking to you as well. Because there is a message here for all of us. And here's the first part of the message. And I just want to ask you to please get this. In fact, Jesus said this and Paul said it. It is okay to be single. It is okay to be single. Whether you've never been married or whether you are single again. Married people, we need to hear this as well. If you're happily married and you love your husband, you love your wife, just because that is God's plan and purpose for you doesn't mean it's God's plan and purpose for everybody. And so matchmakers, you matchmakers out there, and I mentioned that I'm married to one, although after the first service, she said, my wife told me, I'm not a matchmaker. Well, all right, she's not a matchmaker, but we have some matchmakers out here. Listen, be very careful. Because just because you are married doesn't mean that this is God's plan for everybody. Yes, the Bible has some tremendous things to say about marriage. There's Adam and Eve. And they were created, man and woman, male and female. And they were put together as husband and wife, the very first couple. God Himself was the officiating officer. It was God's plan for them. And He told them to be fruitful and multiply. The Scriptures talks about marriage and as the primary institution of society and of the church. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that marriage is God's plan for everybody. I mean, think about it. If it were true that everybody should have been married, then Jesus was living outside of God's plan because He was single. Evidently, the Apostle Paul is single at this point, so if everybody's supposed to be married, he was living outside of God's plan. You see, what I'm saying is that it's okay, church, to have singles and to celebrate that because God has given a special gift to some, and we as a church need to recognize that, and there is a special place in the body of Christ for those who are unmarried, whether, again, whether you have never been married or whether you are single again. Now, to singles, what I want to say to you is, you don't have to feel guilty or less of a Christian or less of a person or a human being just because you don't have a husband or wife. I know I'm speaking to a number of singles this morning, and it may be that you're widowed. And your singleness is a result of something that you did not plan and perhaps didn't even foresee. Maybe it was a sudden thing, or maybe it was a lengthy illness, and you're sitting here this morning and there is an empty place in your heart and in your life because the one that you lived and loved with, perhaps for many years, has been taken from you. Well, I want to say to you this morning, I will not answer the question why. I don't know why things like that happen. God knows, and maybe someday God will reveal that. I don't know why, but I do know this. You belong to Jesus. And you have a special place in the heart of God. And it may very well be that He's got a different plan or purpose for your life now. I don't know what that is, but what I'm saying, don't give up on Jesus. Just because that special one or that precious one has been taken from you. Maybe His plan is changing in your life now. And so go on with Jesus. Don't stay behind and just lose what God might have for you today. That's widows. There are others here this morning and you're single again after a troubled marriage and as a result of divorce. And again, that wasn't something you planned. I don't think anybody gets married and says, well, we'll just get divorced if it doesn't work out, and we hope maybe we can get divorced. Nobody wants to get divorced. No marriages start out with a desire to fail, but it happens. And when it happens, we need to understand the Bible does say some very strong things about divorce, but divorce is not the unpardonable sin. And by the way, if you are divorced, it does not disqualify you from serving God or serving in the body of Christ. I think sometimes in the past we've communicated that if somehow, if you're divorced, you're somehow a marked person. That is not what the Scripture says at all. It doesn't teach that. And I want you to know that it might be that God's plan for you now as a single is to use you to minister in ways that those of us who have never been divorced can't minister. I know we have some in our church that are ministering in divorce care now. And what a blessing that is and how God is using that. My word to you is the same as those who are widowed. You hang on to Jesus and let Him use you. Don't give up on Him. Because He's got a purpose and plan for your life. Maybe it's changed now, and maybe it'll be different from what it was in the past. There's some here this morning, and you've never been married, and maybe you even want to be married. Well, you're not less of a Christian. You're not less of a child of God, simply because God has not provided you with a mate. And I want to say to you, God has not passed you by. And you belong to Jesus as well. And so the same thing to widows and to divorcees. Hang on to Jesus. Follow Christ. He is your life. And He is the one that you will find hope and purpose in. And so to singles this morning, I just want to say to you, you're not second class citizens. However, or whatever the circumstances are of your singleness. And God has a purpose and a plan for you. And this church needs you. And we need solid singles who love Jesus and will follow Him. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is, a Christian who is single should marry, listen, only if God provides a mate. And I say this not only to those of you who are older and single, I'm saying this to young people as well who have never been married. Don't get married unless God provides a mate. There's a lot of reasons why people get married today. Some people get married because they want to get out of the house. I heard of a guy who called up his sweetheart and said, "Honey, will you marry me?" And she said, "I sure will." Now, who is this? She just wanted to get out of the house. There are other people that get married today because of loneliness. And they just don't want to be alone. So they find somebody, anybody, that'll have them. And so, I don't want to be alone, so I just get married. Some people get married because They want to find acceptance in a world that seems to be designed for couples. Other people get married because they want help with the chores around the house. I heard of a farmer who was single, and he was looking for a wife, and there weren't too many available around. And so he put an advertisement in one of the trade magazines, and he said, "Single farmer looking for a wife." And he said, "You know, I've got 250 acres, and I farm all these things." And he said, "She must be a hard worker and have a tractor. Please send a picture of the tractor." Well, he's looking for somebody. Some people today get married even because of love. And that's becoming, that seems to be becoming more rare today, but it's amazing. People still fall in love and get married. But there's only one reason why anybody should ever marry, and that is that God put someone in your life, a member of the opposite sex, that you love with all your heart and that you cannot live your life without. And when God puts that person in your life, then marry. Don't marry for any other reason, because I'll tell you, marriage is not a formula for happiness. Now, I don't know that personally because I've been married for over 30 years, very happily married. Thank you, brother. In the first service, I kind of dug myself a hole. You know, sometimes you open your mouth and things just come out. I said, you know, being married 30 years to the same woman is a long time. And then I said that and I thought, you know, that just didn't sound quite the way I meant it. What I meant to say was, what a blessing my wife is to me and how much I love her and how great marriage has been for me. But there is a myth out there. But there is a myth that marriage is a formula for happiness. Singles see married couples and they seem to be happy, and so they think, well, I can only be happy if I get married. And married couples see singles who are unmarried and they think they're unhappy. You know, there are happy people who are married and there are happy people that are single. And there are unhappy singles and there are unhappy married people. In fact, some of the unhappiest people that I know are stuck in loveless marriages that God didn't plan and they don't know how to get out of it. Let me just give you the key. It's found down in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, verse 26. It says, "Because of the present crisis, I think that it's good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Don't seek divorce. Are you unmarried? Don't look for a wife. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you of this." Now, what Paul is saying there, what the Scripture is saying there is if you are single and God sends you a mate, you'll be better off. But if you are single and God doesn't send you a mate, then you'll be best off. And so don't settle for second best or anything less than God's best for you. So whether you're married or whether you're single, seek God's will for your life. Let Him lead and guide in your life. And when you do that, you will find happiness and contentment. Which leads me to the third thing I want to say to you this morning. First of all, it's okay to be single. Secondly, you should marry only if God sends you a mate. Thirdly, no one married or single is complete apart from Jesus Christ. Now please hear this. I don't care who you are or what you are. No one, whether you're married or single, is complete apart from Jesus Christ. There is this myth out there. And the myth is that if you meet the right person, that then you'll fall in love and then you'll live happily ever after. That myth is perpetuated by our media that is saturated with all that. It's even perpetuated by the bedtime stories that we tell our children, like Cinderella. And so what happened to Cinderella? Well, she met Prince Charming. And then what happened? They got hooked up, and what's the last line? They lived happily ever after. And you know, the myth is that if you just find the right person, that you're going to live happily ever after. And there are unhappy singles who believe this myth, and they're out there searching desperately to find somebody, and if I just meet that right one, then I'm going to live happily ever after. And there are unhappy married people that believe the same myth as well. In fact, this is the reason I think that divorce is so is so rampant today. We're unhappy with this one, and we think, well, I get rid of this one, I'll just find somebody else. And if I find somebody else, then I'll be happy. Let me tell you something. Happiness is never going to be found in another human being. It will never. Contentment and life will not be found. Your marital status, and I mean this, whether good or bad, listen to me. Your marital status honestly has nothing to do with your contentment. Listen to what Paul said down in that 7th chapter in verse 29. He said, "What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if they were if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if they were not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away." Now basically what he's saying there is live as if the things of this world are not all there is. He's saying, listen, you belong to a greater reality which is beyond this present world. One day all of these things are going to pass away and there's not going to be anything left. And then what are you going to have? And if you've been looking for love in all the wrong places, if you'll let me borrow that phrase, if you've been looking for happiness or contentment in the things of this world or the people of this world, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because everybody is going to disappoint you. Sooner or later, everybody will. And so over in Philippians chapter 4, the apostle kind of pulls this all together when he writes, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Now notice that. I'm content regardless of what my circumstances are. I knew what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything, he says. What? Everything. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now what he's saying is that Jesus is the one that brings contentment in life. When I come to Him, I find purpose, I find meaning. It is in Christ that my life takes on a new dimension. And in that, I can be content. And only in Him can I be content. Beloved, only Jesus will bring fulfillment in your life, knowing Him, relying on Him, walking with Him, trusting Him. And some are going to say, "But Brother Greg, you don't understand. What about loneliness?" And I know that I'm speaking to some of you this morning who are sitting in this room full of people, and the loneliness of life weighs very heavy upon your heart. Because either you want to have someone as these those that were being interviewed spoke about, or you've had someone and lost. What about loneliness? Let me just say a word about loneliness. Do you know what causes loneliness? Loneliness is brought about by a lack of intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I'm not talking about sexual intimacy. There's a lot of different aspects of intimacy. Basically, the definition of intimacy is knowing what is there and accepting what is there when the cover is removed. And that's why some of the greatest intimacy occurs inside the marriage relationship. Because you come to know that person and hopefully accept what is there when all the covering is removed. But it's interesting to me that we can be lonely even in a crowd of people where there's 200 or 250 people maybe in this room, and some of us are sitting here and we're lonely because we have no intimacy with anybody else. There's no one to know us, really. As I've said before, a lot of times we come to church and we put that smile on our face. "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?" And oftentimes we're not doing fine. And oftentimes the weight and the burden is there. But we never remove the cover and let anyone come in to see and to accept and to love. And when we do that, then we develop intimacy, and you're going to find the loneliness will be discharged. That's what the Scripture is talking about here. But let me just tell you where you'll find perfect intimacy. Jesus. The only place. You know why you can be completely intimate with Jesus? You can be intimate with Him because He sees you with all the cover removed. He created you just the way you are, and He knows you. And He loves you. Jesus accepts you just the way you are. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or what you've done. And He is the one that can make you feel right, accepted, whole. I don't know if you've ever heard the song Charles Weigel. He was born in, or heard the name Charles Weigel. He was a songwriter, born in 1871 to Lutheran parents. He was a German, born in Indiana, and came to know Christ at a young age. And he became a preacher and pastored some churches. He was a Methodist preacher, really a circuit riding preacher. And then he became an evangelist. He would travel all over preaching the gospel. He was married for a long time, raised children. One day he came home from one of his evangelistic crusades or travels, and his wife was gone. And there was a note, and she said, "I'm sick and tired of being married to an evangelist. I'm out of here." And she left him. And he fell into a deep despair and loneliness. And he describes just how some days he didn't even want to get out of bed. It was so difficult for him because now he just felt all alone. But it was in that loneliness that the Lord Jesus began to minister to his heart in ways that he'd never been, that Christ had never touched his heart like that before. He began to feel what many others had been feeling all along. And out of that he wrote a song. It's an old hymn. We used to sing this song. It says, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin. When Jesus found me, all my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. Every day He comes to me with new assurance, more and more. I understand His words of love, but I'll never know just why He came to save me till someday I see His blessed face above." And the chorus goes, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me and you. He cares for you. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Beloved, in Christ Jesus is life." Whether you're married, happily married or unhappily married, whether you're single, never married or single again, in Christ is life. And you will find in Him if you'll just give Him your life. If you'll give Him yourself, your heart, your hopes, your dreams, your marriage, your singleness. Give it to Jesus. And in Him you'll find life. Apart from Him, there's nothing. Lord, today, I pray, God, for each one of us, that You would help us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to be intimate with You. Father, some of us hold back our lives from You. We don't want to get too close. We don't want really to be known that well. And we think we can shield ourselves from You, and yet You see the deepest parts of our soul. And it's amazing You love us anyway. Father, my prayer today for each and every person in this room, whether married or single, Lord, Father, my prayer is that each heart and each life would be touched by Your love in such a way that nobody could walk out of this room without knowing, I am a friend of God. I've been accepted by Him. I am alive in Jesus. Lord, some today, for the first time, need to commit their lives to You and be saved. Lord, there are others here that need to come back. And Father, there are some today that just need to give to You the hurt, the pain, the loneliness, the despair that we feel. Father, today have Your way in each and every heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.